First things first, rest in peace, Uncle Phil.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, starting out hour number two right here on The Usual Suspects. Barry, Joel, Aaron Rabold. Aaron is a suspect.
I'm going to say Aaron is suspect.
Yep.
You didn't need to A.
I don't think he... No, because I don't want to put any hate on him, because he's actually the guy that likes to like help us and jump over where Nick wants to jump ship and get out.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
Yeah.
Interesting story I wanted to share with you boys because of what happened last night with Grinke and the ninth hitter and the
no-hitter
that wasn't. That too. John Smoltz was on MLB Network.
Okay.
So while it was going on, he was one of the people that didn't feel it was a jinx to talk about it.
Right.
And he was talking about it.
And then...
someone in the studio asked him, have you ever had a similar situation as Grinke going into the ninth inning with a no-hitter? And he told a story that he said, I just have a stupid Zagnut story that got in the way of a no-hitter. And they're like, what? And he goes, yeah. He goes, he was 23 at the time, third major league season, and he was trying to learn routines from pitchers on game days. And one of the other pitchers on the Braves suggested he pitch on an empty stomach. They were playing the Phillies at 1 o'clock, so in order to have an empty stomach, he said he didn't eat at all prior to the game. He figured, I just won't eat. I'll be on an empty stomach. If I wake up, go to the park, I'll be all right. Well, sure enough, I got a no-hitter going through 8 innings on an empty stomach. And I'm thinking, I'm going to pass out. So I go to the clubhouse, and the first thing I see was a Zagnut. So I crushed it real quick. Then with one out in the ninth inning, I gave up a 2-0 base hit to Lenny Dykstra. I haven't had a Zagnut since.
Nice.
And I forgot there was a candy bar called the Zagnut. I think it was kind of like a payday. It was like peanuts and nougat and stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, he said, so he blames the Zagnut. He said, I got what I needed, but I didn't get the result I wanted, so I didn't pass out, but I was going to eat anything that I saw when I got, he said, between the 8th and the 9th, he snuck up to the clubhouse. It was the first thing he saw.
It's funny because I'm very superstitious.
Yes.
When I go on stage, I wear the certain things. There's only certain, like, shoes or shirts or even underwear. I always have to wear.
Well, you are more than superstitious your underwear.
I always have to wear blue underwear on stage.
What?
I don't know why it is. It's just one of those things, but I always have to be wearing blue underwear for a show. So tonight, you see me on stage, you know underneath this, all the sexiness, blue draws. Yep. I don't know why, but I am like that. I'm very superstitious when it comes to certain things. Except when it's somebody else, like the no-hitter. I would talk about a no-hitter because, you know what, you're really – superstitions are stupid.
Well,
and I know that. I just can't help it. But like a no-hitter, like you're not going to cause him to give up a no-hitter. In fact, during Verlander's no-hitter, I don't know if it was the radio or the TV, but they were talking about it. They were saying no-hitter over and over.
So they wouldn't do it the last time, but they caught heat for it, AT&T Sportsnet. And then Charlie just completely annihilates anybody who
wants. Well, then it was the radio that was saying no-hitter.
So the radio maybe was different. The TV, they got tongue-lashed because they weren't going to mention it. And even it's kind of carried over to be a thing because I flipped over to see the news last night, the sports on Channel 2.
Yeah, you said
Randy McAvoy was like, Zach Greinke's pitching, let's just say, really good.
See, Randy McAvoy, love that dude. Great guy.
Dude.
No bearing on the outcome of that no-hitter or the game. So you can say it. It's okay. Just don't go on stage without blue underwear. Daniel Baum.
So I
got to clean something up real quick.
Yes.
I said that it was AJ Hinch that said Urquidy would start. It was Jeff Luhnow. He said Urquidy likely to be in their rotation. He said Urquidy's going to be, the quote was, Urquidy's going to be likely in our rotation next year. He's done an unbelievable job. He's a talented pitcher who knows how to pitch in high pressure situations. If he's the right guy to make our roster, in the DS or CS or WS, he'll make it. And hopefully he's going to, get some big outs for us in the postseason. So, all of that leads you to believe Urquidy's probably your four starter. Unless, do you think that AJ Hinch just feels obligated to run Miley out there?
There's a lot of loyalty in that clubhouse.
That's what I'm saying.
But I think that because they've achieved almost everything. Now the Yankees, because they lost last night.
It's over.
They've clinched the best record in the American League. Now it's just a matter of if the Dodgers can make up two games out of the next four.
No way.
And I don't think it's happening either. So I think that they're a little bit more lenient now to where they are probably in a situation where they'll be like, let's just see what he's got tonight. If he blows up again, it's not going to hurt us. Whereas if they were knee-deep in like a tie situation with the Yankees and the Dodgers, I think maybe they would think about doing it differently.
But I'm saying in a game four, let's say that the ALDS is 2-1 or 1-2. Do you run Wade Miley out there in game four?
If you're down 1-2, you don't, in my opinion. If you're up 2-1, you do. Okay. Run him out there.
Okay. What about in a seven-game series where you know you need a four starter? Who is it going to be? Because it doesn't matter whether you're...
My gut feeling, just based on what I've seen in September, is your Urquidy.
Okay.
But, you know, everybody says, well, you can do it a million different ways. And yep. I wrote the article for Sports Map and gave you all different possibilities and said you could go with the opener. You could go with Urquidy. You could go with Wade Miley. You could say that you're long. Normally you would say, well, Peacock or McHugh, but their health is such a concern. And you made the point, he's not, in the case of Peacock, he's not stretched out enough to be able to give you major innings. You could just do bullpen by committee. Because you're up in a series, but it could be an issue as this thing goes further into the playoff.
I think you have nothing to lose with Urquidy. If Wade Miley's is mechanical or between the ears, it doesn't look like he's getting it fixed. And so, I mean, this month, if this month were a game, he went 7 1/3 and gave up 18 runs.
His earned run average start tonight is 22.08 for the month of September.
Yeah, and when you compare that, like, for all of his starts in July and August, he gave up 17 runs. He's given up 18 in four starts this month. The wheels haven't come off. They've blown up. This wagon is just...
And he's had a hell of a season.
Yeah.
But in the month of September, just those starts we're talking about pushed his ERA up almost a full point.
Yeah, when you lose it sometimes, guys just lose it.
Sorry.
Yeah. But guys lose it, they lose it. And, I mean, think Brad Lidge. Think Rick and Keel. Sometimes you just never recover from that. And once you kind of get the yips, Chuck Lomblach at second base, couldn't throw to first base.
Steve Sachs, same way.
So you wonder if this is mental, physical, because you might tell a guy, I mean, Brent Strom and this pitching staff and all these analytics guys and coordinators can go, look, your arm slot needs to be here. You're doing this, and he's like, got it. But then when you go out there, it's a muscle memory, it's habit, and it's hard to break those habits. And maybe he just can't overcome it physically, and maybe it's both. I don't know.
No, for those of you that golf out there, it's the same thing as having the shanks or the yips.
Yep.
You're exactly right. It's muscle memory, but all it takes is some little twitch that all of a sudden your memory is sending your muscles to do something it hasn't done before. Trying to get out of that, it is a nightmare. If you've ever had the shanks in golf, it's crazy, and it's a real process. So, by the way, the Zagnut bar, which I vaguely had heard of before,
yes,
I don't know if this floats your boat or not, but it's a combination of peanut butter, peanut brittle, toasted coconut, and chocolate.
Really?
They had the picture of the Zagnut bar, if you've never seen it before.
Oh, I have not.
Well, there it is.
Yeah, that looks great. So delicious. Yeah, that looks like an old people's candy. I'm out on that.
Yeah, and the story behind it was created by the Clark Company, D.L. Clark Company, which did a lot of candy over the years, but it was launched in 1930.
Okay.
How about as they show other possibilities... They have the Clark Bar, Fifth Avenue, and the whatchamacallit.
Yeah.
Whatchamacallit was Rice Krispies, right? I think it was like Rice Krispies and chocolate. It was
something like that, yeah. Hey, real quick, we got to say, don't forget at 2:30, Sigmund Bloom from footballguys.com is going to join the show, answer all your fantasy questions. So I suggest if you want to get your questions in, you go ahead and give us a call now. You can wait on hold through the next segment. And then we'll get your calls because, as you know, we go calls first and then texts and then tweets. So 713-780-3776. If you have fantasy questions, feel free to hop on the line. You're going to wait for a little while. It's going to be till 2:30. But we'll get Sigmund on there, and he'll answer all your fantasy questions. We're already getting texts. Somebody tweeted, which I don't answer fantasy questions, but Sigmund does. So go ahead and get on hold, and we'll get you in.
There you go. As we roll through hour number two, stay right where you are. Plenty more coming your way, including Sigmund Bloom and a whole lot of other things. ESPN 97.5.
is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back in hour number two of The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, the one black cloud of negativity. That's after another racist Astros win, and Zach Greinke taking a no-no to the ninth, is and continues to be Carlos Correa's back issues are not going away. Before the game, he was a scratch because of the fact that it was still bothering him.
I guess you could say his issues are back.
Thank you. Good night.
And you know who Astros fans are blaming for all of this?
Who?
His fiance.
Oh, see, that's just
Daniela
stupid.
Just keeps getting bashed because she put out...
If you're a grown-ass person out there blaming his fiance for his back, I almost said what I said the last time I got in trouble. Punch yourself, you stupid ass. That is the dumbest thing ever.
So I'm looking at Twitter because I'm seeing the guys, the Chandler Rome, the Brian McTaggart.
I hope he leaves and goes to the Yankees.
Because I wanted to hear what he had to say.
Dumbass fans.
And so he kept saying, ridiculous. Look, because of the fact that they had a late flight last night, even though it was it's a decent flight, right? Seattle to, it's not bad. Seattle to Anaheim, LA.
Hour and a half,
probably,
maybe.
Probably.
Chartered.
But he's making it seem because it was a late night flight that they weren't going to take any chances, so he won't be in the lineup again tonight. But I don't know if it was McTaggart or Chandler Rome or somebody said, well, then, if this was a playoff game, would it be different? And he goes, absolutely, I'd be playing. So that made me feel a little better.
Okay.
But this is just one of those things with all the positives we've been talking about and how this team continues to roll. The last thing you want to see is this become a lingering issue in the playoffs.
But this is a team that can win 2-1 or 12-1.
True.
I'm not worried about this team without Carlos Correa. Is it great to have him in the lineup? Absolutely. Am I worried about this team offensively without Carlos Correa in the lineup? No. Are they better with him? Yes. Are they in trouble without him? No.
No, but and the only thing I'm saying is we talked about the Miley issue. If we're going to deal with the Miley issue, that's the one problem that they can overcome, and you find ways to deal with it. You have options. You have options this way, too. It's just I don't like having both of them going into the playoffs as possible issues. And the thing was, as much as I had concerns about would he get his timing back with Major League pitching, boy, before this last back snafu, he had two home runs in a game? Yeah. He was hitting for power. Yeah. He looked comfortable. He was making good defensive plays. You're right. Can they survive this? Sure. But are they a better team with him in the lineup and defensively? No question.
Absolutely.
So, and by the way, Astros Twitter, and everybody kind of half jokingly says that they're so savage. They go nuts.
Honest to God, if you're blaming a dude's fiance for his bad back, you're an awful fan and an idiot.
Well, it didn't stop there. Of all things, Astros Twitter got into it with Mariners Twitter. And there was a back and forth about the franchise. And one Mariners guy started this whole hullabaloo about, you know what? All you guys are fair weather fans. And you ain't ever done nothing except for winning one World Series, blah, blah. And then Astros fans just was like, oh, I smell blood in the water. And they started going back and forth. And then it was like a melee of people just chiming in left and right and left and right. And I mean, you can only imagine who chimed in the middle. But I'm sitting there reading this thread going, oh, my God, do you not have anything else to do? And it just kept going.
It's funny that a guy from a Mariners fan would clap back at an Astros fan by saying, you've only won one World Series. This from a team with not even an AL pennant, much less a World Series.
But here's his response to that, because
argument.
Astros fans were great.
That's a
and they were throwing
argument.
That out. But the big rebuttal from Astros Mariners in the Mariners rebuttal was, well, we haven't been around as long as you, so we still have opportunity.
Oh my God, you've been around since 77. Get out of here. That's so stupid. Yeah, I don't know. But I just, that whole Twitter battle beef thing, for the most part, is dumb. I just, if you're out here blaming what?
Because you've never done it.
I'm just saying, like, fan to fan. Like, these guys have anything to do with what goes on the field. Like, our team is better than your team. All right, 5-year-olds. Like, why are you arguing with a dude from Seattle with his crap-ass team? But I just, the whole messing with players. Speaking of that, did you see Bryce Harper's a little upset with Nationals Nation?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's a thing. Yeah, he said they got a little personal. He said he didn't mind that they were heckling him during a game, but that they crossed the line. So I'm assuming they started saying stuff about his family, which, again, is too far. It's fine to heckle a guy. They, as a ball player, you know that you're going to get booed. You're going to, hey, you're a bum. You can't throw. You can't hit. You know, whatever. You're gonna, you know you're going to get that. But when you start attacking a man's family, that's too far. I would expect that from Philly fan with Harper, and he plays for the Phillies. I would not expect that from the Nationals. You just don't be that. Don't be that fan. Don't be that guy.
That's it. I'm with you. And again, look, you have the right to say whatever you want within reason when you're at a game because you've bought the tickets or whatever you paid to be there. But you have to have some common decency and consideration. Otherwise, realize that the players have to have a way to retaliate, whether they get the guy thrown out. Because I've seen it. I mean, it happens in the NBA more so than not. Not just the Westbrook confrontation with the guy in Salt Lake City, but literally now with security guys all around the court that work for the teams and the league, you just point a guy out, they'll have him removed. Baseball's, you know, they have the ability to do that. They don't want to do that because otherwise the entire bleachers in Fenway would be gone.
Yeah.
Because they're as racist. I mean, that's ugly sometimes.
Yeah.
But everybody's saying now that Astros Twitter started it. I don't want to lose respect from anybody. I just want to make sure I clarify that.
They started it. Oh, my God. I mean, so glad.
If you're an Astros fan, especially this year, why would you even respond? You've won 17 of 18 against the Mariners.
Yeah.
You have the best record in baseball.
Don't stoop to their level.
And yeah, exactly.
Hey, somebody texted and said, what's the virtual reality thing you were talking about earlier? It's called Zero Latency. Zero Latency. Grand opening is October the 12th. So I'm going to be there, and I'll have more details and stuff for you starting next week. But yeah, October the 12th, if you're into gaming, if you've never done any virtual reality, you have to go do this. If you're into gaming, though, meet me out there. See if you can beat my score like Jake did today.
Are you going to bring your own equipment at some point?
Beat my ass. No, it's not like that. Oh. You show up. You literally wear a computer on your back.
Really?
It's an HP. Like, it's literally like, Joel, you should take your MacBook Pro, put it on a backpack, and make your own virtual reality. Because you have a headset. You have these virtual reality goggles. It's a big room. And once you put those goggles and that headset on, you are in a completely different world. And how you don't run into a wall, I don't know. But it's the trippiest. We were doing this one thing called Engineerium, and you start walking upside down. It's badass. I can't wait for you guys to do this. It's gonna be a lot of fun.
You know what else is gonna be a lot of fun?
What?
2:30 Sigmund Bloom.
Yeah,
you're
gonna
have your fantasy football questions. So now is the time to start calling. If you got questions for Sigmund Bloom, you got a big matchup coming up in fantasy football this weekend. He's the guy that will answer it for you, and he is spot on. He is fantastic. 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call that number because we'll take calls first, as Barry said. Then we'll go after calls, text messages, and tweets. And we'll get as many as we can. But I just want to let you know, after the first couple weeks, we have not been able to get everybody taken care of with all the questions answered. So if it's really important, call, then text, then tweet. Second half of the show starts next with Sigmund Bloom. Don't go anywhere. Usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Is the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
90 in the books, 90 still to go. Here comes the second half of the show. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. You know how we do it on a Thursday. It is fantasy football time. The unequivocal expert in fantasy football in our minds, countrywide, joins us Thursdays, 2:30, always, Sigmund Bloom. And he always gives you the best information and answers your fantasy football questions. We've already told you how we do what we do, but we always tell you that if you want to see it through and follow Sigmund Bloom, at Sigmund Bloom on Twitter, footballguys.com. He gives you all the information. You get the app. It is crucial. If you're really serious about fantasy football, just stick with Sigmund Bloom. Sigmund, thanks for joining us. Always a pleasure to have you on the show.
Always a pleasure to be here, too. I hope everybody is dry out. We haven't gotten any rain in New Orleans for like a month, but I know we'll continue to take turns helping each other out.
No doubt.
For sure.
Any quick information on what you think about Melvin Gordon with the fact that he is back with the Chargers as of this morning?
Well, he's not going to play this weekend. At least there's no indications right. that he is. And he's probably not going to have his full role for at least a few weeks, week one or two of Austin Eckler staying the lead back. You know, I still think Austin Eckler, we've got to remember, when Austin Eckler was playing with Melvin Gordon last year, he was still an every week flex player, even a running back two in PPR yeah. leagues. I don't think that's going to change. I don't know that Melvin Gordon's going to have the same role that he had last year. So I think we leave Eckler in until further notice. And when maybe we have Gordon go off on our bench once, and then we feel safe playing him.
All right, Sigmund, it's week four, so bye weeks start now.
Yeah.
Any recommendations for folks that maybe have a starter on the Niners or whatnot that need to go out and grab somebody just for 1 week?
Sure. You know, if you're replacing George Kittle, you might look at see if one of the Indianapolis tight ends is out there. I don't think T.Y. Hilton's going to play, so Eric Ebron or Jack Doyle. Will Disley, obviously, facing Arizona. We're playing all tight ends against Arizona. Maybe Dawson Knox might be out there. He had a good week, and they're going to face New England. He might be their X factor. You know, otherwise, you know, the wide receivers and running backs on San Francisco haven't really been that much of a use to us because they use three running backs and four or five wide receivers every week.
All right, here we go. So if you want to get on the – we go phone lines and then text and then tweet. So if you want to get your question in for Sigmund Bloom, 713-780-3776. You can call it or text it, 713-780-3776. We got a full board. Let's get going. Patrick, you're up first. Go ahead.
Flex position. We got Valdez-Scantling or DJ Moore.
Valdez-Scantling's the guy here. Philly has three healthy corners, and they're not very good. DJ Moore, I think, got two targets last week in Arizona.
All right, up next, RJ, what is your question for Sigmund Bloom?
Yes, sir. I'm in a PPR fantasy league. I've had a trade request for Devontae Adams for Cooper Kupp. Should I pull that trade or not?
Ooh, Cooper Kupp is going to be very consistent, but I think this is Devontae Adams' get-right game. I would probably want to still hold on to Devontae Adams.
All right, Jared has a QB question. Jared, go ahead.
I have Aaron Rodgers. He hasn't really done anything for me this season. And Daniel Jones went off. But I'm kind of wondering, should I start Aaron Rodgers above Daniel Jones?
Ooh, I mean, it's close enough. Look, I'm not going to tell you to bench Daniel Jones just because the Washington defense is so bad. But I still think this is a good game for Aaron Rodgers against that depleted secondary for Philly. And Green Bay has been running away with games, and he hasn't really had to pass a lot in the second half. Hopefully Carson Wentz will stay closer in this one. I'd go with Rodgers.
All right, now this says Jared QB question again. So what are the odds? Is this Jared again with a QB question?
It is actually two questions. Wow. Matt Stafford or Daniel Jones, and then Chris Carson or Stephon Diggs in a PPR.
Yeah, I don't know how we can trust Diggs at this point. Carson, you know, the next fumble could be the last, although I don't think Rashad Penny is going to play this weekend. That game's going to be very high scoring, Seattle and Arizona. You want to get a piece of that in your lineup, go with Carson. Stafford and Jones, it's similar to the last one where I'm not going to tell you bench Daniel Jones because he looked like he was ready and Washington's defense is terrible. Matthew Stafford, though, he's playing Kansas City. He's going to have to pass a lot in this one. So I would go with Stafford.
713-780-3776. If you have questions for Sigmund Bloom, get on the phone lines right now. We will get them answered. You can also text that number as well, 713-780-3776. Back to it, Brian. You have a question for Sigmund Bloom, footballguys.com.
Yeah, I'm curious who catches the baby tonight, Aguilar or Alshon Jeffrey?
Well, nice. And Aguilar actually invited that guy, Hakeem Laws, to the game. So
that's great.
I would go with Alshon Jeffrey here, but we're really flipping a coin. Here's my theory. Jaire Alexander, who's the excellent shutdown corner for the Packers, he is more of a cornerback who doesn't just play the boundary, which is where we have Alshon Jeffrey. So I think Alshon Jeffrey will see Kevin King, who's the weaker corner there. So I would play Jeffrey and hope for the best.
All right. Good stuff. Adrian, you're up next with a wide receiver question. Go ahead.
All right. I need to start to Boyd, Hardman, Hollywood Brown, or Sterling Shepard?
Okay. In a PPR league, Boyd would be one of the calls here just because he catches so many passes. Marquise Brown is in no matter what your format is. If it's not a PPR league or a half PPR league, actually like Sterling Shepard, you know, we've been talking about Daniel Jones a lot. Shepard is going to be one of the main beneficiaries there. Again, against Washington, we've seen players get open deep almost every week, actually every week, and Shepard could be his turn this week.
All right, Trey's up next. Trey with a flex question. Go ahead, Trey.
Yeah, hey, I've got a two flex question here, full PPR. My options are McLaurin, Mecole Hardman, Robert Woods, and Darrell Williams.
Okay, I would got to stick with Terry McLaurin. I mean, he's not slowing down. The Giants' secondary is not very good. And then it comes down, I think, to one of your Chiefs because Robert Woods is cold right now. I would probably go with Darrell Williams. We haven't seen Damian Williams practice yet this week. I expect that means we're going to see a lot of Darrell Williams. LeSean McCoy could even go out in the middle of this one like he did last week. I won't talk you out of going with Mecole Hardman over him, but McLaurin is definitely in.
All right, Anthony, you're up next. Go ahead, buddy. Anthony going once. Mm-hmm. Anthony going twice.
I'm right here.
Go ahead.
All right, so I have this issue every week. I drafted Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson. I'm just trying to figure out who I should start this week.
Yeah. The answer every week is going to be Mahomes. And I think at this point what you want to do is you want to see who has Drew Brees, who has Ben Roethlisberger, who has Cam Newton, or otherwise who has a quarterback that they don't feel good about starting around. Maybe Aaron Rodgers. You know, we're hearing people be a little bit unsure about him. And try to see if you can trade Deshaun Watson for something that will help your lineup get better.
There you go. All right, up next, David also has a QB question. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, I have DPR. Who should I start? Jacoby Brissett or Josh Allen?
Ooh. Jacoby Brissett is the safer play here. Josh Allen's going against that New England defense. We're not sure if they're legendary or not. I would give Allen a go just because even if it's really bad and New England's defense is that good, he'll get garbage time against them, but I hope it doesn't come to that.
Hey, Sigmund, I have my own question. I'm going to butt in here because similar to what that other caller said, I have Lamar Jackson and Deshaun Watson on my ESPN team that we play our listeners. And week to week, I'm just like, I guess I just have to look at defense, right? If you have two good quarterbacks, you have to look at the defense they're playing.
Yeah, I would say, but I think in this case, Lamar Jackson is the one you want to go with this week and going forward, just because his running is more by design, whereas we know if Deshaun Watson's out there taking hits, that actually, that's the other thing, is there's a lot more of an injury risk, I think, with Deshaun Watson than Lamar Jackson. So I would try to cash in Deshaun Watson coming off of a really good game last week if you can.
Oh, will do. Jose, you're up next with a wide receiver question. Go ahead, bud.
Okay, I got David Johnson, Dalvin Cook, a running back, but on my flex, I have either Aaron Jones, Valdez, the wide receiver for Green Bay, which is the best option.
Yeah, you know, this week, if it's a PPR league, I would go with Valdez Scantling. And I think, again, the Philly secondary is depleted right now. Aaron Rodgers is going to take some shots early to Valdez Scantling downfield. If it's a non-PPR league, you only really care about yards and touchdowns, then Jones is better as the goal line back for Green Bay.
All right, we got time for five more. If you're on the board, you're in. If not, you'll have to call next week or hit Sigmund Bloom up on Twitter, at Sigmund Bloom, or go to the footballguys.com message board. So, Cody, you're up next. Go ahead, Cody.
All right, brother. Hey, I got a trade question. I'm actually doing pretty well in my PPR league, but I got a trade that drives me nuts. The guy wants to give me Travis Kelce and Cooper Kupp for Chubb and Kittle. I have Kamara at my other running back. What do you think, brother?
Ooh, you know, I still think going from Kittle to Kelce is a pretty significant upgrade right now. And Chubb, we can see his upside is limited. If it's a PPR league, Kupp is money in the bank. So I think I'd make that trade to get Kelce.
There you go. Joey, you're up next with a trade question for Sigmund Bloom, footballguys.com. Go ahead.
Yeah, hey, I got a trade question for y'all. So I have Christian McCaffrey, and I don't have a running back two, but a lot of people are after Christian McCaffrey right now, and they originally offered me Adam Thielen, Todd Gurley, and Nelson Aguilar for Christian McCaffrey only. I didn't think that was fair, so I countered with Christian McCaffrey and Christian Kirk for Mark Ingram, Todd Gurley, and Adam Thielen. I just want to know if y'all think that's a fair request for me to be asking for that.
Well, I think it's more than fair, but I think that you're still not getting enough. I think Christian McCaffrey is just one of those players. I hope that you can get your running back two spot taken care of with a waiver wire pickup or a minor trade gets one before they take off. There's a lot of churn at running back, a lot of injuries. I would just hold on to McCaffrey.
We really got to put an asterisk on. So I'm trading 55 guys for these 55 guys. Am I a good person? Get out of here, Joey. All right, AJ, you're up next. Go ahead, AJ.
Hey, how's it going? Team defense, PPR league, Baltimore or Green Bay?
Ooh, it's a coin flip, really. I would go with Baltimore just because I think that Baker Mayfield's going to hung out to dry right now and is going to make a lot of mistakes this weekend.
You know my co-host is a huge Packers fan, so he just gave you the stink face.
No, you've said enough positives. You said enough positives about tonight, so I'm all right.
Yeah. All right, do we got time for two more? Sean has a wide receiver question. Go ahead.
All right, PPR, I got a wide receiver two position, DJ Moore, Aguilar. Who should I start?
Yeah, I would go with DJ Moore here just because, again, I think Aguilar might face the shutdown corner for Green Bay tonight.
That's it. All right, last one. Eric, you have a QB question for Sigmund Bloom. Go ahead, man.
Wentz or Goff?
Wentz, just because I don't think Goff is that great, and I think Tampa Bay's defense is probably better than that. Look, Cleveland had half of four secondary members out with injury. Goff was still just so-so on Sunday night, so I'd throw a pair out there with Wentz.
There you go. Sigmund Bloom, best in the business, footballguys.com. Sigmund, how can the people get a hold of you if they didn't get their question answered? Because we got a text line full of them that we didn't get to. How can they get in touch with you?
Yeah, try to hit me on Twitter at Sigmund Bloom, but the best bet is on the footballguys.com message board, the Shark Pool. I put a thread up. I'm going to put it up just now where I answer questions up until game time. On Sunday, I do my best to answer as many of those as I can.
That's awesome. And then you got the Lineup Dominator app. If you have questions, and I use this thing all the time, like for my matchups tonight and then going into the weekend, I'll use that footballguys.com Lineup Dominator. As always, Sigmund Bloom, we appreciate you, man. We'll talk to you next week.
For the opportunity.
All right, y'all. That was Sigmund Bloom, footballguys.com.
There you go. And before we go to the break, I do want to tell you about the good people at Fitz Roofing. Fitz Roofing making a difference one roof at a time and one home at a time, simply because if you have any kind of roofing issue, it's the only place you should call, because they're never going to screw you over like deposit thieves and sketchy roofers. They are going to make sure that they do the job before, during, and after the sale. The customer service, fantastic. The ratings, out of this world. Don't ask me. Ask the people that check it out and tell you what the ratings are. A-plus rating, Better Business Bureau. 5-star ratings, Facebook and Home Advisor. They do it right with the greatest product out there in roofing, CertainTeed Shingles. So much so, they're a CertainTeed Select Shingle Master Company. Only 1% of the roofers in the entire United States meet the criteria to get this status. They got it. You need it. That's why you go to Fitz. Honestly, their base warranties are longer and better than your average roofer. And it just goes from there. They take care of you throughout the process. Also, if you want to know how dedicated they are to the community, 10% of all their profits go back through a nonprofit called Fitz for Families. It puts roofs over people's heads when they have roofing issues and don't have the financial needs to pay for them. They take care of you. Check them out. FitzRoofing.com, FITZRoofing.com, or better yet, call them. 832-521-3001, because you'll get a free, no obligation inspection just for making the call. They come to you, see what they got, and they tell you what they can do. They go away till you call them back. 832-521-3001, Fitz Roofing, making a difference one home at a time.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolling through hour number two of the three-hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97. Appreciate you taking us on the go wherever you may be in Houston on this Thursday. Breaking news out of the NFL from Adam Schefter.
Why are you screaming?
Because people like it when I do that. It's not what you think. Gotcha, Aaron. Breaking news from Adam Schefter. Jennifer Lopez and Shakira will be the halftime performers for this year's Super Bowl in Miami. Other performers also expected to be added, but a Miami flavor for Miami's next Super Bowl.
Listen, if anyone is going to show their breast at a halftime, now is the time.
I do recall a few years ago when J-Lo and Beyonce had that Super Bowl promotion going, and I'm not going to lie, from the outfits to the presentation, they know how to bring it.
Who's hotter, J-Lo or Shakira?
In my mind,
what?
J-Lo.
Oh, I don't know.
You asked, I answered.
You seen Shakira dance in her videos?
I know.
Her hips don't lie, bro.
Oh, God. I've answered. Aaron?
Aaron is suspect. Which one are you going with?
I want to go with J-Lo, but she's had so much crazy D in her. I don't know if I want to go there.
Okay.
Although Shakira is only like 4'8", so I don't know if I want to walk around with a girl where I can just literally use her as like an arm.
I like them. I
think she's like 4'8", 4'9", if I'm not mistaken.
I like petite women. That's why I'm leaning Shakira.
I think she's like remarkably short for her statue.
Who? Shakira?
Shakira, yeah. I think.
How tall is she? Is she really 4'8"? There's no way she's 4'8".
I don't know, but that's the... I know she's putting out there.
I'm 99% sure she's nowhere near 5 foot.
She's 5'2".
Really?
Nowhere near 5 foot. You're right. She's 5'2". She's way over.
Oh, yeah.
2 whole inches. What is the threshold for... I almost said it wrong. What is the threshold where you're classified as a little person?
4'11". I think under 4'11".
Is it? No.
I think it's shorter than that. Yeah.
Now I'm going to have to Google this. What is it? I want to know, what's the threshold?
I mean, if you're really going to be critical of someone, a female, because of their height?
Yeah. How tall do you think J-Lo is?
5'6".
She is 50. That's all I said.
They don't know.
50 years old. It doesn't have her height. I wonder why it doesn't have her height.
Because it doesn't matter.
I don't mind her being short, but... I was under the impression she was like 4'8", where I'd be walking around, it looks like a child next to me.
Really? Let's see. I'm going to see.
Dwarfism starts at underneath 4'10".
Really?
4'10" or less.
So you said dwarfism. Is that the same as a little person? We can't say the M word.
I believe so. Because I typed in the M word, and this is the first thing that popped up.
I was close.
Jennifer Lopez. M word? She's 5'5".
Yeah.
I can't believe you typed in the M word, first of all.
I typed in the M word.
I thought dwarfism was different than, I don't know, a little person. Little personism.
J-Lo's hot. She's 5'5". Who cares? Shakira, 5'2". Who cares? She's hot, too.
I would really, if we were Matt Thomas, this would make a great Insta poll.
What should we do?
Who's hotter, J-Lo or Shakira? I don't think this is as easy as you think it is, Joel.
I didn't say it was easy, Barry. You asked me the question and I answered it.
Listen, I've been on record in the past.
What's your favorite candy bar?
Oh, I hate you.
Because you know the texts are coming, bro. They are lining up.
By the way, if you're going to text any other answer other than Jennifer Lopez or Shakira, I'm deleting it and I probably will block you because you're not paying attention to what this is. The poll is Shakira or J-Lo, who's hotter? Now, I will say I've been on record in the past as saying there is such a thing as too much booty. You can have too much ass, all right?
You're going to stir some people up with that one.
I feel like J-Lo is right at that tipping point where it's like, that's not attractive to me.
At her age, to be in the shape she's in.
Now, she butts up to it. Nope. It's right.
I see what you did there.
Nope. That. Mm-hmm. She's right on that edge. I'm good with it. But if it were any larger, like when she's 60, you know, she's probably going to stop working out as much. You gain a little bit. She's going to get a little bit bigger. It's going to get bigger. And then I probably won't be as enamored with it.
Okay.
But you'll have enjoyed the enamoration with it for the first, however, nine years.
Yeah. True. Has she ever done a nude scene, J-Lo?
I don't think so.
No, she's in that new stripper movie.
That new stripper movie's coming out, though.
She's not nude in it.
What? Even Halle Berry let us see him.
Yeah, you will never forget that.
Oh, my God. I'm a huge Halle Berry fan. Mm. Maybe my favorite celebrity as far as hotness goes.
Funny you left that on the table when you said that.
The Vaseline. Shut up, Joel.
According to the Little People of America, Little People of America defines dwarfism as a medical or genetic condition that usually results in an adult height of 4'10 or shorter.
That's it.
Yep.
So then where did the M word come? Because I always thought there was a difference between the M word and a dwarf.
Here, that's another question. What is an M word? In some circles, a M word is the term used for a proportionate dwarf. So basically,
everything's the same. Everything is in proportion.
Yes.
Whereas dwarfism, I think you have a. I'm gonna get in trouble.
You have a full size head.
Yeah. See, I didn't want to put it that way. You have.
Like, you just need to get Brad Williams in here next time he's in town. He'll explain it for you.
I do. I know we have a little person that listens to the show on a regular basis.
AJ's buddy,
and we've
right?
probably covered this before. My short term memory is not good.
I'm just. You're yes. so happy with yourself right now.
I really wish I could include this show on stupid stuff at the end of the week for the Blitz.
I'm sorry. It was just right there. I had to take that shot. I'm sorry. all right. I'm gonna have to vote against both of you and go with Shakira.
That's on you.
I don't know.
713-780-3776.
Get
your votes in. Is
it
J-Lo or is it Shakira? Which one you going with? HRP Lister line. Text us your answers. Tweet us your answers.
Cut the music. Stop everything. Someone said J-Lo was nude in Money Train and U-Turn.
What?
I'm going to go Google this. We can go to break now.
We need to call Mr. Skin.
Oh, that was a good website back in the day.
It still is.
Is it?
Oh, yeah.
I'm about to go
evidently,
they're still running.
Definitely, Mr. Functionality over there is making sure
is
it's
this
functional.
Your Vaseline?
Yeah, maybe you left that behind the desk. Hour number two is in the books. 60 minutes still to go. Don't go anywhere. Final hour of the show. Usual Suspects. ESPN 97.5.
I'm sipping low key and Onyx, fine rider. When I'm pulling up right beside you, pop star Lil Mariah. When I text, keep game wireless. Throw a stack on the bar. Put a Snapchat, I took my.